So we have a treat today. We have a guest speaker today, Danny Chung. He is a pastor, senior pastor at Bridgeway Church here in Fairfax, a Baptist brother. Still Baptist, right? Okay. And we go back almost 30 years. So I first met him when he was a youth pastor in Korea at Onuri. So for those who understand where that is, the wonderful thing about him is from Canada. And he, immigrated to Canada, lived in Canada, got his divinity degree in Canada, and then went to Gordon, got his THM, Gordon Conwell. But he's with us. He is a godly man. I really respect him. He's just a nice guy, but also just very wise and humble. And so I think we're going to have a treat. So let's welcome Pastor Danny Chung.
Right, I'll lower this just a little bit. Thank you, Pastor Henry. It's good to see you. Good to see you, Ellen, as well. As Pastor Henry said, we met back in 19. Do you guys know 19? You all look really young. 1996, 97, my family and I moved here to the States about 15, 16 years ago. And I was talking to someone, and Henry's name came up. I'm like, you're kidding, he's here? And so I searched him up and we got connected. And it's such an encouragement for me to see how faithful he is and Ellen and raising their daughters and just a faithful man of God. So thank you, Henry, for giving me the opportunity to be here this day. Thank you for the time of worship. I felt blessed. It's rare when you're at your own church, you're mindful of so many different things that it's hard to worship sometimes. But here, I'm a guest here, so thank you. I feel blessed and encouraged. And I feel like I just go home now and then just have a good rest of the day. But thank you. Let me pray, and then we'll see what God has to say to us today. Father, thank you so much. We know that you are here with us. We know that you are in control. When the world seems to be going out of chaos and out of control, we know that you are on the throne, and you are good, and you are faithful, and you love your children. And so we come to you humbly, asking that you be glorified through our time of worship. And as we open up the scriptures, would you speak to us what we need to hear today for your glory and for the growth, for your kingdom, and for the growth of your church as well. Bless Pastor Henry, Ellen, and all the elders and every member here, and use them for your glory in mighty ways. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Can you say amen? All right. It's good to see some of our young ones here. I always love children to be in the worship with us, so welcome to you as well. I'm going to call today's sermon Facing the Unknown with Confidence. Facing the unknown with confidence, because life isn't easy, amen? I mean, you look at the news and all the things that's going on around us, it's really difficult to face the unknown future. You know why it's hard to face the unknown future? Because you're not in the future yet. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's why with the unknown future, oftentimes there's a sense of worry and a sense of anxiety that comes with it. None of you have been in the future. That's why many of you are anxious. Like, for example, how many of you know who's going to win the Super Bowl next week? Right? How many of you know how high or low Bitcoin is going to go? Will you have job security? Can you guarantee that you'll be here around this time next year? No guarantees. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying that with so many uncertainties in life and with so much division in the world today, we just don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't even know what's going to happen tonight. And so because we don't know, again, there's a lot of anxiety. I've heard many people at a younger age are fighting depression and serious anxiousness because of what's going on around us. So again, how do we face the unknown future with confidence, with confidence? I believe the Bible gives us the answer to that question. And there are several passages we could look at, but I want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. So if you have your Bible, would you turn to Ecclesiastes 11? I'm going to look at 6 or 7 verses, and it's going to be on the screen. And I don't know the culture here, Henry, but would you mind standing for the reading of God's word, just out of respect for God's word? Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 to 6 says this. Okay? Listen to the word of God. Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know. Say that with me. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. No. Don't keep repeating. Just if clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know, say, you do not know. Okay, don't repeat after me, okay? Now, the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb. So you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning. And at evening, let your hands not be idle. For, say it with me, you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Please be seated. As you probably know, the Ecclesiastes was written by who? Solomon. Most likely King Solomon. Here, he reminds us of our own human inadequacies. He reminds us of our own human limitations by repeating the phrase 3 times, you do not know, in verse 2. And again, you do not know, in verse 5. And then he repeats it the 3rd time, you do not know, in verse 6. Friends, as someone once said, you don't know what you don't know. Did you know that? You don't even know what you don't even know. What this means is that we don't know a whole lot. We are even unaware of our own ignorance. We just don't know. And so Solomon teaches us here, and this is the main point of the message, 2 things. Take a risk and trust God with the unknown. Take a risk and trust God with the unknown. Let me break it down for us. First of all, take a risk. Some of you are already anxious and nervous, because you've never taken a risk. You have done nothing in your life that requires taking a chance or taking a risk. And I'm not trying to offend you, but maybe some of you have been in your little playpen for all of your life, and just the idea of taking a risk is scary to you. But I believe God is telling us today, take a risk. Risk something for the glory of God. Why do I say that? Look up verse 1. It says this. Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. And then go down to verse 6. It says, sow your seed in the morning. Let's think about this for just a moment. When you ship anything across the sea, with so many unknowns, there's always a risk when you send something across the sea. Agreed? Like the ship could get into an accident. Pirates could come and steal everything in that ship. The ship could crash into something. There could be a huge storm sinking that ship. Things just could get lost. There's a level of risk when you ship anything across the sea. What's more is that when you plant your seed in the morning, there's no guarantee that it's going to bear anything. Why? Because insects could come and eat up your crop. Or deers could hop over the fence and eat up all your crop. There may be a storm for the next month. You don't know if the weather is going to cooperate with you or not. And that's why it says you may receive a return. It doesn't say it's guaranteed. It doesn't say you will gain a return. It just says you may gain a return. There's no guarantee of success. But here's the thing. Here's what I know. If you get paralyzed by the unknown, and fear paralyzes you, and so you never invest, you never send anything across the sea, you never plant anything, there's about 100% chance that you're not going to get anything back in return. Agree? If fear paralyzes you and you never do anything, there is about 100% chance that you are not going to succeed at anything. I have two daughters, and my younger daughter plays lacrosse for her high school. And she's way better than I am, but I'm her daddy, so I get to tell her what to do, right? So after each game, I'm always telling her, take the shot, right? Take the shot. Don't be afraid to take the shot. Like, she's forward. She's not, if you're defense, don't take the shot, right? She's forward. So I'm always telling, take the shot. Don't be afraid to miss. Don't be afraid to mess it up. You gotta take the shot, because if you don't take the shot, there's about 100% chance that you're never gonna get a goal. You gotta take the shot. You know, someone once said that if you want to catch a wave, you need to be willing to get wet. If you want to catch a wave, you need to be willing to get into the water and take a risk. So here's a question for you, dear friends. Where is God calling you to take a risk? Where is God calling you to take a risk for the glory of God, for His kingdom, and for His church's sake? Where is God calling you to take a risk? I want to encourage you, dear friends, be bold for the sake of Christ. Do something you've never done anything before. Take a risk for the glory of God. But, and this is a big but, don't go overboard. Amen? Don't go crazy. Like, don't be foolish. Don't be careless. And please don't take unnecessary risks just for the sake of it. Be wise. And so there's a word of caution in verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says this. Invest in how many ventures? 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. What this means is don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? Diversify your portfolio. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Diversify your investments or your portfolio in 7 ventures, and yes, even 8. My guess is that you know that in the Bible, the number 7 represents what? Perfection and completion. It represents fullness. And so when it says to invest in 7 and then in 8, what it's teaching us is to invest as much as you can and then some. Invest just a bit more. Why? Because again, you do not know. You don't know what disaster may come upon you. You cannot predict the future. You don't know when the next recession is going to come. So diversify. Just don't let fear paralyze you. Don't let fear paralyze you. But when God calls you into something, dear friends, take a risk. Take that step of faith. And please, especially to my younger friends, don't make excuses. Amen? I hate excuses. Don't make excuses. It's so easy to do, but don't make excuses. Someone once said you can make excuses or you can make progress. You can't do both. You can make excuses or you can make progress, but you cannot do both. And perhaps some of you here sitting today, you're so careful. And you're so timid all the time. You're always saying things like, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? Then friends, what's the answer? It doesn't work. What if it doesn't work? The answer is, then it doesn't, it just doesn't work. Look at the second part of 3b. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Life is like that sometimes. Wherever the tree falls, there it will lie. Life is like that sometimes. There it will lie. Not much you could do about it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But unless you try, you will never, ever know. Secondly, please don't wait for the perfect condition. Don't wait for the perfect condition. Look at verse 4. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Like you're just watching the wind. Never going to plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will never reap. If you are waiting for that perfect condition where the wind is blowing at just the right speed in the perfect direction, where there's just enough clouds in the sky, you'll never get to do what you're supposed to do, and you will end up doing what? Nothing. Because the perfect condition may not ever come. I know this is supposed to be a 30-minute sermon, Pastor Henry, but can I throw in a story in there? You know, I have this perfectionistic tendency, and my neighbor was dying of cancer. I knew that I had to preach the gospel, but I was waiting for that perfect moment, that perfect time. Some months ago, my wife came to me after worship, and she said, I have some bad news. And what is it? She said, Roy died. My heart just sank. Because that very moment, I told my wife before going to church, let's visit Roy tonight. Let's visit Roy tonight. But he died that very same day. You see, I was waiting for that perfect moment when my schedule was cleared up, when there are no more cars in their driveway, when it was a nice day, when I felt like I was filled with the Holy Spirit, when things were good, then I was going to go and share the gospel with our neighbor, Roy. But that very day, when I said, tonight we're going to go, he died. Friends, the perfect situation may never, ever come. Take a risk. When God calls you into something, just trust and obey. Do what he says. The perfect condition may never, ever come. If you're waiting for that perfect weather just to plant the seed, you may never get a crop. Friends, remember, progress doesn't have to be perfect. As long as you're taking steps towards what you think God is calling you to do, it doesn't have to be perfect. Progress, not perfection. I was reminded of the story that Jesus told in Matthew 25. And you know this story. It's about a wealthy man before going off on a business trip. He gathered his servants together. And to the first servant, he gave 5 bags of gold. To the second servant, he gave 2 bags of gold. To the third servant, he gave 1 bag of gold. And the guy who received the 5 bags of gold, he took a risk. He went to work it right away. He invested it. He diversified. He gained how many more? 5 more bags of gold. The second guy also went to work his master's money right away. He invested it. He was wise. He probably sought counsel. And he gained how many more? He gained 2 bags of gold more. But the guy who had 1 bag of gold, what did he do? He was terrified. He took his master's gold, dug a hole in the ground, and buried it. After some time, the master came back, and the first guy was excited to see his master come back. He said, Master, you gave me 5 here. I invested. Here's 5 more for you. What did the master say? He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The second guy, he was excited to see his master come too. He said, Master, you gave me 2. Look, I've doubled it for you. Here's 2 more. What's interesting is that the master said the exact same thing to the second guy that he said to the first guy. Read Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23. He said the exact same thing. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. But the guy who received one bag of gold, dug it up, went to his master and said, "Master, here it is. I know you're a hard man. I know you take stuff that you didn't plant. I know how hard of a man you are. And so here it is. I bring it back to you." Did you notice that the third guy who did the least, he talks the most? Did you notice that? First and second guy, here it is. This is what you gave. Here it is. But the third guy who did nothing, he talks the most. That's what I see in the church and in life. What is he doing? He's making excuses. Not only that, he's blaming the master. Why do you have to be such a hard man? See, you cause fear in me. He talks a lot and he blames everyone else but himself. Here it is. I give it back to you. And notice what the master said. "You wicked and lazy servant." Wicked and lazy. "You should have at least put my money in the bank. At least you could have got some interest off of it." And then this is the scary part. He said, "Take that one bag of gold, give it to the one who has 10, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This story that Jesus told is meant for us today. What Jesus is simply teaching us is that we have to be wise about everything that God has entrusted to us. How many of you know that you don't own anything? You do not own anything. Everything you have has been entrusted to you by God, including your car, your wallet, your bank account, your house, your kids, your parents. Everything you have has been entrusted by God to you for you to manage. You don't own anything. In this short life that God has blessed us with, we want to use everything that God has given to us for His glory, for His kingdom, for His church purposes. Everything we have comes from the Lord. James teaches us every good and perfect gift comes from the heavenly lights, right? Father of our heavenly lights. We don't own anything. We are to be steward of everything. But the third guy, he was gripped by fear. Again, fear paralyzes. He played it safe. He dug a hole in the ground, buried it, and just gave it back to his master. No risk, no level of faith. And he was rebuked for that. He was called wicked, lazy, and what else? Worthless. Jesus is calling us, if you are here today and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that we must work hard for his kingdom. And in doing so, there is always an element of risk involved. And so we must dare to take steps of faith. So take a risk. What's the second point? Trust in God. Trust in God. Here's what someone said. The moment you trust in God is the moment you're giving up control. The moment you're trusting in God is the moment that you're stopped playing God. You're not God. The moment you trust in God is the moment that you stop thinking that you have to know everything. Trust in God. There's an idea, right? Trust in God. Look at verse 5. "As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things." As scholars have pointed out, Solomon is playing with words here. He's talking about wind and the womb. So highlight those two words. He's talking about the wind and the womb. And he's teaching us, you don't know where the wind is going to blow next. You don't know how the wind is going to change course in a matter of a few seconds. And you don't even know how babies are actually formed in the womb. We don't really know. You know, I know that if any of your medical doctors are in that medical field, it's amazing how far science has come. Like I heard we could get 3D images, right? That's amazing. It wasn't like that when I was having kids. But now you could apparently get 3D images of the baby inside the womb. It's amazing. And yet, we don't know how the cells exactly work and divide at the exact perfect time to form the little fingers and the little toes in every part of the human body while it's still in the womb. Science cannot explain everything. There are a lot of things that we still do not know. But that's okay. Because we have a creator God who knows and who's in control. And everything is in the palm of his mighty hands. So friends, if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, part of our job is simply to trust in God, who not only knows the future, but he's already aware. He's in, I think Pastor Henry prayed this. He's not only knows, he's already in the future. And so we could trust God as his children. You know, when you're scared and you're about to freak out, and you're anxious, think about the character of God. Think about who God is. God is faithful. Amen? God is good. He's your heavenly Father who loves you more than you could even love yourself. Think about the character of God. He is faithful, he is good, and he is in control of all things. And so we don't always have to play safe. Take steps of faith by taking God-honoring risks and trust. Surrender all things to Jesus, including the things that we don't know, including the things that we cannot know. Now I'm going to wrap up, but let me say this. Anything you do that's worth anything, there's a level of risk. Anything you do that's worth anything, there's always an element of risk involved. There's a risk to loving someone. Did you know that? There's a risk to sharing the gospel with someone. There's a risk. There's a risk to loving God and following Jesus Christ. One day, a man went to Jesus and said, I want to follow you wherever you go. What did Jesus say? Foxes have dens. Foxes have, birds have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What it's saying is, dear friends, there's a cost. There's a cost to following Jesus. When you became a Christian, you signed up for the adventure of lifetime. When you became a Christian, he didn't call you into a life of comfort and convenience. There's a cost to following Jesus. Just the way Jesus gave up everything, heavenly glory, everything, went to the cross, became obedient to even death on the cross. Jesus calls us, I think you read that this morning, to die to ourselves, to follow Jesus, to find life, true life, and even eternal life. Let me end with this for our younger ones. You know, I heard a story about a little girl. She was in a building, and there was a fire in the building, and she was on the fifth floor. And the fire was getting so hot, she was leaning out the window, about to jump out. That's the only way she's going to survive. And the firemen were there, and they're saying, little girl, we see you, jump, jump. And that she was so paralyzed by fear, she said, I can't see anything, the cloud. But the fire was just getting so hot behind her. They said, shouted, jump, girl. You're going to die. Jump. And she said, I can't see anything. And there was another voice, a lot more gentle voice, said, honey, I see you. Jump. It was the voice of her father. She recognized the voice of her father and said, okay, daddy, I'll jump. Dear friends, we have a heavenly father who invites us to call him not only Almighty God, the creator of the universe. He calls us and invites us to call him what? Father. Not only father, he invites us to call him Abba, father. Daddy. Daddy. would you catch me when I jump? He's saying, jump. I'm here for you, and I am with you. Friends, we don't know everything. We don't even know what we don't know, but that's okay, because we don't have to know everything, because we have a heavenly Father, heavenly Daddy, who knows everything. No risk, no reward. So take a risk, trusting God with the unknowns. Let's get out of our little playpens and honor God by risking for the glory of God and trusting in Him. Dear friends, life and Christian life is about trust and obey. Trust and obey. And say, God, wherever you lead, I will trust and I will obey. And I will follow hard after you. Let's pray together. I don't know where you're at. I met you for the first time, I think. Only God knows. Your pastors know. Wherever you may be, would you say, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to trust you. I want to obey you. I want to obey you. What are you calling me to risk? Help me to trust you. Take a moment to pray. I'd like to bless you in prayer. Father, I want to humbly pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here sitting at your feet this day. Father, wherever they may be, whatever struggles or loneliness or anxieties they may be faced with today, I humbly pray, and as I lift them up to you, that you would draw them closer to your heart, and that you would enable them to have the strength to lean in harder to you. Whatever they may be going through, would you show yourself as the loving Father that you are, and help us reminded that when you called us into faith, that you did not call us into a life simply of comfort and convenience, but to simply obey and trust you and to follow you wherever you go. So bless them, minister to them by your Holy Spirit. Continue to bless this church to make a difference in this community and beyond. Bless the leadership here. Bless everyone here and all those that may be seeking you. I pray that the Holy Spirit open their hearts and minds to see you and find life in Jesus and Him alone. We thank you. I pray that only your truth will remain in the hearts and minds of your people for your glory. We thank you. We praise you. We love you because you have loved us first. Be glorified in and through your church today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.